Brethren, last Wednesday, I was in Bentonville to attend our annual, we call it year beginning meeting. We at Walmart start our year in February. So about 4,000 of us in the information systems division attended the meeting, and we had lots of guest speakers, inspirational speakers, speaking to us one after another. It was the last motivational speaker that really interested me. That speaker was a guy named Dr. John E. Kelly III from IBM. Yeah. Dr. John Kelly was really a very cool guy. He is a senior vice president and director of IBM Research. And in this position, he leads IBM's global research efforts with approximately 3,000 scientists and technical employees across 12 laboratories in 10 countries. And he helps guide IBM's overall technical strategy. Dr. Kelly talked about so many things. Dr. Kelly talked about IBM's research into nanotechnology. And among the uses they're working on at IBM is to use the nanotechnology to penetrate the cancer cell and destroy it. So it's like a Trojan horse for cancer, and they are in front of that research. He talked about Watson. If you're familiar with Watson, Watson is an artificially intelligent computer system capable of answering questions posed in natural language. Watson, originally named after IBM's founder, Thomas J. Watson, was, some of you can remember it, it was originally developed for the popular quiz show on TV called Jeopardy. And Watson competed against former Jeopardy winners Brad Rutter and Ken Jennings. And Watson won the first prize of $1 million. According to Dr. Kelly, Watson is now being tailored and being trained to become a doctor by giving it access to medical textbooks. He said, he calls him Dr. Watson actually. He said, if he takes the board exam today, he will pass it with flying colors. And this is not just absorbing data, just accumulating data. This is really, it's like human analyzing data. It's not just dumping data inside the system, but it's really an artificial intelligence that's powering this. And this computer has the artificial intelligence to make decisions. In February 2013, IBM announced that Watson's computers or software systems' first commercial application would be for utilization management decision in lung cancer treatment at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in conjunction with the health insurance company WellPoint. IBM Watson's business chief Manoj Saxena says that 90% of nurses in the field who use Watson now follow its guidance. It's really an amazing technology. Man's capability to develop things, including artificial intelligence, brethren, is so awesome. But, brethren, no matter how good a man is, you still cannot compare him with God. Sometimes we trust too much in our capability. But the Bible is full of warning against trusting more in man than in God. God has surely given us a portion of His mind, His capability, but the Bible is full of instruction and warnings that we should not trust in that. Let's go to Psalms 118, verse 9. It is better, or start with verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Let's go to Jeremiah 17, verse 5 to 6. Jeremiah 17. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like the shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. So man ought to use his gift, the gifts given to him, wisely, and not be tempted into thinking that his ability just comes inherently from himself, because that's not the case. The man who thinks otherwise, as the prophet Jeremiah said, is cursed. Here are some reasons why it is better to trust in God not to trust in man. And these are mostly synonymous and similar points. But first reason, God, unlike man, God is consistent. We want to trust somebody who is consistent. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God is a consistent God. And in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, God says, Malachi 3, verse 6, "For I am the Lord, I do not change, therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." It's like the physical laws of the universe, brethren. Those laws are consistent. So, we can predict, we can send rockets to the moon, spaceship to the moon and back, because the laws are consistent. And that's a reflection of God's trait, which is consistency. Secondly, we can trust in God more than man because God cannot lie. God cannot lie. Numbers 23, verse 19, God says, "God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and he will not do? Or has he spoken, and he will not make it good?" And And Hebrews chapter 6 concurs in verse 18. Hebrews 6 verse 18. It says in verse 18 that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set for us. So brethren, it's better to trust in God, because we can lie, but God, it's impossible for Him to lie. Third reason why we should trust God and not in man, because God cannot fail where man can fail. God cannot fail when man can fail. Do you know why Abraham was the father of the faithful? Abraham believed that God can never fail. When God promises something, you can consider it done. When He speaks, it's even if the actual thing happens in the future, it's considered done. Romans 4, brethren, verse 21. We can start with verse 16. Romans 4, verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that we might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed. God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. So, when he says something, it's as if it already happened. Verse 18, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. And Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And here, being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And because Abraham believed in God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. So here's the formula if you want to be righteous. Be fully convinced that when God promises something, and the Bible is full of promises from God, He will make it to come to pass without fail. As they say in colloquial, you can bet on it. So, God cannot lie. For God is faithful. True faith, brethren, comes from God. That is the nature of God. Hebrews 11 again. Verse 11. Hebrews 11:11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. So contrary to some people's ideas, it's not only Abraham who was faithful. Sarah also believed in the promises of the faithful God. Even though it was popularly known that she laughed when the angel told her that she was going to have a child beyond her bearing years. Hebrews 11 says that she judged him faithful who had promised. So Sarah is kind of mother of faith also. Fifth reason why we trust God and not in man. Because God finishes what He starts. It's like running in a marathon. You have to finish your run. Recently, I started running in our, we have a like Boomer Lake in Stillwater as part of my exercise. It was actually a friend who convinced me to run and as a good exercise. And I learned also that I can no longer run consistently. After a few hundred feet, I had to stop and just walk, then run again. I got easily tired and weary, and I need really to practice so that I can run more or less consistently. But let's go to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verse 28. God says, on verse 28, "Have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable," or infinite, brethren. So he neither faints nor weary. That's what the Bible says. God never faints nor is weary, brethren. So that's why you can completely trust in God, because He finishes what He starts, because He never becomes tired, unlike us humans. And God can give us that power to us. It says in verse 29 of the same chapter of Isaiah, it says, "He gives power to the weak." So God can give us that power too. "And to those who have no might, He increases strength. Because even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." This is talking, and this is speaking, spiritually speaking. Because we can be weary physically, but God can give us that power to not be weary spiritually. Sixth point, why we trust God and not in man. God, brethren, is omniscient. God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful too. Let's go back to Isaiah 40 again and verse 28 again. The last part of the verse says that God's understanding is unsearchable. It's unlimited, according to other translation. His understanding is infinite. God is omniscient. Man is not omniscient. We are not like Superman, who has the X-ray vision. God has X-ray vision. It says so in Hebrews 4, verse 13. Hebrews 4, verse 13. It says about God's trait. "And there is no creature hidden from His sight." So He can see. "But all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." We are all transparent to God. In fact, He knows us thoroughly, that even all our hairs are all accounted for. He knows exactly how many strands of hair fell off last night when you were sleeping, or when you were taking your shower, or combing your hair. God is all-knowing. God is omniscient. And God can see. That's why we can trust Him. He knows us thoroughly. He knows our conscience. First John 3, verse 20. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Because God knows our heart. Seventh point on why we should trust God and not in man. God never forgets His promise, but man forgets. You know, one of the great images that symbolize love, nurture, and care to someone is a mother who is nursing her child with the very milk that comes from her body. It used to be a very common sight, especially in the developing countries. It's not very common here. They nurse their children even in public places. To me, it's very symbolic of the love of the mother to her child. And she is embracing her child and giving her the very giving it the very nutrients that come out of her body. It can also symbolize, brethren, the church giving us embrace and spiritual food, giving spiritual food to us, the children. Let's go to Isaiah 49, verse 15. Can a man forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget. So even that woman that nurses her child can forget. Yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. So a young mother may occasionally forget her child, but God says He never forgets His people. Even when it appears so, He never forgets. We can trust in Him completely. The Bible is full of promises from God, but He will never forget. You know, in Genesis 8 says, God remembered Noah, verse 8, and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. It's not that God forgets, you know, when he remembers, it doesn't mean like us that we forgot and then we remember. It's not that. When we humans say, I remember, it means we have forgotten, but for God, we are always on His mind. God has perfect memory and never forgets. Here are other scriptures. Genesis 19, verse 29. It came to pass when God destroyed all the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham. So God never forgets. Genesis 30, verse 22. God remembered Rachel and God listened to her and opened her womb. In Exodus 2, verse 24, so God heard the groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, referring to the Israelites' bondage in Egypt and their deliverance. Last on my point 8, why we need to trust God, is God will never betray our confidence. God will never forsake us. During the Second World War, the Japanese army invaded the Philippines and the combined U.S. and Filipino forces were defeated. U.S. President Roosevelt ordered the commanding general, General Douglas MacArthur, to leave for Australia immediately and prepare with the other Allied forces for the retaking back of the Philippines from Japan. Before he left, General MacArthur uttered these famous words, which became the battle cry of the remaining guerrilla forces as well as the prisoners. He said, I shall return. The words, "I shall return," were printed in matches, in cigarettes, etc. And that gave hope to the people. Hebrews 13 verse 5. "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such thing as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." So God will never leave us. Even if we feel like we're forsaken, God will never leave us nor has forsaken us. General MacArthur eventually returned with a great armada of Allied forces, and he uttered these dramatic words moments after he waded the shores of the Red Beach in the island of Leyte. This is the island that was devastated by the typhoon, the island of Leyte. He said, "To the people of the Philippines, I have returned. By the grace of Almighty God, our forces stand again on Philippine soil, soil consecrated in the blood of our two peoples. We have come, dedicated and committed to the task of destroying every vestige of enemy control over your daily lives, and of restoring upon a foundation of indestructible strength the liberties of your people. At my side," he said, "Sergio Osmeña, worthy successor of that great patriot, Manuel Quezon, with members of his cabinet. The seat of your government is now therefore firmly reestablished on Philippine soil. The hour of your redemption is here. Your patriots have demonstrated an unswerving and resolute devotion to the principles of freedom that challenges the best that is written on the pages of history. I now call upon your supreme effort that the enemy may know from the temper of an aroused and outraged people within that he has a force that there to contend with, no less violent than is the force committed from without." MacArthur said, "Rally to me. Let the indomitable spirit of Bataan and Corridor," these are the islands in the Philippines, "lead on. As the lines of battle roll forward to bring you within the zones of operations, rise and strike. Strike at every favorable opportunity for your homes and hearts. Strike. For future generations of your sons and daughters, strike. In the name of your sacred dead, strike. Let no heart be faint. Let every arm be steeled. The guidance of divine God points the way. Follow in his name to the holy grail of righteous victory. Douglas MacArthur." So going back to our last point, God will never betray and forsake us, brethren. Even as this great general never forsook his people. John 14 verse 1, God says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again," or as General MacArthur said, "I shall return and receive you to myself, that there where I am, there you may also be," or there may be also. "And where I go, you know, and the way you know." So, brethren, going back to our main theme again, let us not trust in ourselves, in our abilities. Let's not trust our machines, our weapons of war, in our computers, in this Watson, in our high technology, or in Bible speak, says by David, "For I will not trust in my bow, nor shall my sword save me." That's Psalms 44, verse 6. Instead, brethren, let us trust in the Almighty God. The same chapter of Psalms 44, verse 7. Psalm 44, but you have saved us from our enemies and have put to shame those who hated us. In God we boast all day long and praise your name. Zillah.